I need it. Let's start with this, huh? Because obviously it just stinks. The news on Zion Williamson, we'll get through all of that and more. Sean Fox, the only caller we have today in this hour, the guest that is. But let's
have some. Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more that Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
Indeed, it is. That is Broncos head coach Sean of the Payton. It is Wednesday. 2 days until the Pelicans get a third opportunity to try to get into the postseason, and the faces on Michael Wilbon and all of those others on NBA Today on ESPN tell the tale as well. You're not going to have Zion Williamson. Adrian Wojnarowski back at the 12 o'clock hour dropping the bomb right around 12:45 that Zion would be out Friday and evaluated in the coming weeks. And we both said, whoa, that's an S at the end of the word week. No bueno. Then the Pelicans officially released a statement. The New Orleans Pelicans announced today that forward Zion Williamson has been diagnosed with a left hamstring strain. An MRI taken this morning confirmed the injury. Williamson will be re-examined in approximately 2 weeks. So 2 weeks' time is where we are now, as this is our lead.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
So Zion is out for at least 2 weeks. Pelicans have another shot, 8:30 on Friday against the Sacramento Kings, who beat the Warriors yesterday behind 18 three-pointers in order to get that win. They will be in town Friday. Pelicans have beaten the Kings 5 times already this season. That means it would have to beat them a 6th time in order to advance into the first round of the postseason and take on Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma City series schedule is out. If the Pelicans can win on Friday, game one will be Sunday in Oklahoma City. Game two won't be until Wednesday at Oklahoma City. Games three and four at the Smoothie King Center, if the Pels win, will be Saturday the 27th and Monday the 29th. Wednesday, May 1st, back at OKC for Game 5. May 1st is 2 weeks from today. That is when Zion will be evaluated again. That doesn't mean he's ready. That doesn't mean he's ready to go. That doesn't mean the Pels are still there. It could be unswept. I'm just May 1st is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today would be a possible Game 5 against Oklahoma City. Pels still have to earn the right to even get to that point. I'm just giving you a time frame of what 2 weeks evaluation period is. Friday is the 3rd of May. That is game 6. That will be here if the Pels make it. And game 7 is, of course, at OKC. That is Sunday the 5th. So, realistically looking at if the Pels are going to go into the postseason, it obviously is without Zion Williamson on Friday. And likely looking at the 2nd round for Zion to maybe even look like he looked yesterday. 40-point effort, doing what he did. Hard to digest, to be honest with you, because I legit feel bad. And I will say this. This play here, it was, I mean, the way the arena was feeling.
Williamson, season-high 38 points. He's been fantastic. He drives on Anthony Davis, and he scoops it in over the front iron with a left hand. He's got an even 40.
He drives right. He switches back left because he wants to get to his left hand. Anthony Davis is off balance. He's caught unawares, and that's a teardrop from Z.
Timeout, Darvin Ham and the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, everyone in the arena is going, yeah, this is awesome. Can't wait to see. He shortly would leave for the tunnel and then the locker room after that. So this is where you are. You want to get into the postseason. There's no doubt. And It's going to look, if there's anything by this, you know your timetable, you know your time frame, you know what you have in front of you. It is now up to everybody but Z to try to get four, you know, into the second round. I mean, you got to get into the first round, first and foremost. You've lost six straight home games now, needing to win one of those home games, essentially. You've had two opportunities the last two. You have your third and final opportunity on Friday. If you do not win on Friday, your season is over. It really is that simple. Head coach Willie Green, following the game yesterday, had this to say on the loss.
Obviously, tough loss for us. The guys battled. I'm extremely proud of that group, how they fought. They hung in there, and we got back in the game by just simply upping our physicality, keeping them out of our paint, and being scrappy. We fell short and that's the disappointing part. But, you know, we got to feel this one tonight and regroup and get ready for another one.
CJ McCollum struggled from the outside, 1 of 9 from distance, 4-15 overall, 9 points in 30 minutes. CJ, after the game, on just those shots not going in last night.
I think you credit them. They played a good, had a good defensive game plan. You know, wasn't a lot of, I mean, I had like three good looks that I think I should have made that I just left short. But they did a good job of being up in coverages, you know, showing crowds. I got to be better. I got to be more efficient. And if I played a better game tonight, we end up winning. But we still had a chance in spite of my performance to win the game, and we just didn't.
Trey Murphy hit a three or two.
And if I played a better game tonight, we end up winning. But we still had a chance in spite of my performance to win the game, and we just didn't.
Trey Murphy hit a three or two. 2 of 6, 12 points. Made a comeback. And Brandon Ingram wasn't a part of that towards the end as well when Zion left. Willie Green on it.
I just liked the group that was on the floor at the time. And B.I. is still getting back. He's still finding his rhythm. So I didn't want to force the issue. And I liked the group that was going. They had some momentum going there.
C.J. McCollum on the struggles with Brandon Ingram so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You're coming off an injury, right into playoff atmosphere against a team who has championship.
I didn't want to force the issue, and I liked the group that was going. They had some momentum going there.
C.J. McCollum on the struggles with Brandon Ingram so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You're coming off an injury, right into playoff atmosphere against a team who has championship aspirations.
And we made our adjustments. We responded in the right way. We just came up short.
Jack, thank you for giving us a call here, sir, on the Sports Hangover. How are you?
Hey, Gus, how are you?
Doing well, man.
Look, I was surprised and pleasantly surprised in it, because in the middle of the third quarter, I thought it was going to be a repeat of a Sunday night, you know, and they fought back mostly. It was mostly Zion and Jose, but, you know, they got back into the game. It's disappointing that Zion got hurt at the end, you know, and didn't have a chance to finish.
Yeah.
But about CJ, what I saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, please. Whoever was guarding him just completely, I mean, he couldn't get away from him, and he was bigger than him. He just couldn't get his shot off.
Yeah, I think that's why you heard him say they had a good game plan and what they were trying to do there, which is why I thought going into the game, and I remember telling Aaron Summers in pregame, I thought the way Brandon Ingram was I thought he was going to have to be key, because I thought they were going to, you know, try to guard Zion again the way they did. I mean, I didn't have him going for 40, right? And I thought they have the size. Look, a lot of people kind of don't think about it. Austin Reeves is not small, right? And you kind of saw that as well, right. And he kind of hindered it. So I thought Brandon Ingram
what was going to have to be the key. And he was 4 of 12 in 25 minutes, 1-of-1 from distance, 2-of-2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 11 points, but really didn't feel like much of a factor there. And then, you know, with Willie Green saying it there at the end as to why he didn't go with B.I., he liked the lineup there. I can tell you several people reported that he left early in the locker room, not happy. So I don't know if that is going to be a motivating factor here coming up when it comes to Friday or not. But, I mean, you now know with Zion out for the next 2 weeks minimum, he has to take over, and CJ's somewhat kind of like this team did the last couple seasons without Zion in the postseason or in the play-in here.
And Gus, look, about the free, I sent you something yesterday about points in the paint. Yeah. The Lakers are second in the league. They're second in the league. That's why, and that's why you get to the free throw line more. And also, yesterday, okay, 6 or 8 of those free throws, I think, especially with AD, were in the last 2 minutes when the Pelicans were behind. They had to foul. So, I mean, and look, this conspiracy about the Lakers, why couldn't they finish the job? How did they let Denver sweep them? I mean, if we're just watching a play, then let's just do that. Just get into the title.
Jack, it's easier to say that it's must-watch TV with the Nuggets and the Lakers. Come on.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this though, because you're very strong with your opinions. What do you think? Well, if this team cannot get the win on Friday, then what?
Gus, I would definitely. The question I want answered is: see, I completely disagree with the Cajun Goat. I believe that's his name. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want David Griffin to answer why he didn't address the problems that most people think they have. No point guard and nobody to play defense under the basket. But I want to know why that, I mean, was it strictly a financial move? Did he not have any partners? Because clearly, I mean, Jonas isn't going to be here, you know, what, I don't know, by June? I don't know when his contract ends. He's not going to be here. So, he should be able to answer that question honestly. You know, they needed somebody else. And guys, here's another thing. Mm-hmm. You heard some stuff in the last couple of days that maybe, especially if they lose Friday, there might be a shakeup of the organization.
Yeah.
The funny part about that is the football people over on the airline drive are going to be the ones making that decision, and those are the people that should be fired. All right. I mean, even you have to be caught in that irony a little bit, just so.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I hear you, sir. I hear you.
I know. But yeah, I think like I told you a couple of weeks ago. I love CJ. He's a really good guy. 30 games is too much. Anyway, have a good evening. Have a good afternoon, man.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Sean Fox. When we come back, it's the Sports Angle on ESPN New Orleans.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
For most athletes, a gradual warm-up has very real benefits and can help prepare the body for a more intense exercise. A thorough warm-up helps to increase blood flow to the working muscle, which results in decreased muscle stiffness, reduced risk of injury, and often improved performance.
An effective warm-up has a number of very important key elements. These elements work together to minimize the likelihood of sports injury from physical activity. When warming up, start with the easiest and most gentle activity first, building upon each part with more energetic activities until the body is at physical and mental peak.
The first step towards your best workout is a general warm-up. You want to work for about 10 minutes and end your warm-up feeling well, warm, and sweating lightly. The purpose of the general warm-up is to raise the heart rate and your breathing. This also helps to increase the muscle temperature, which means your muscles are ready for more vigorous activity. The next step towards your best workout is sport-specific warm-up. The warm-up you do will depend on your sport. During this part of the warm-up, you should up the intensity, doing the same movements you'll be doing in your workout or event. For example, football players must work to stretch their hip flexors, quads, hamstrings, calves, trunk, glutes, and upper body. Each and every muscle throughout the body is used to maximize a football player's running, jumping, blocking, and catching potential. This series of stretches can capture each of these movements to better prepare the athlete for his position.
When warming up, start with the easiest and most gentle activity first, building upon each part with more energetic activities until the body is at physical and mental peak.
The first step towards your best workout is a general warm-up.
If you have questions about proper warm-up before activity, please contact the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at www.thibodaux.com. If you have questions about proper warm-up before activity, please contact the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at www.thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Question: would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? And would you seat them in a car seat that's not the correct one? Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. More info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From your first sunrise to the sunset of life, we are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Visit socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Obviously. And especially with all the work he's put in this season. This is a career high in games he's played his entire career. And, you know, you wish the best for him. And definitely sucks.
All right. That is Trey Murphy. Again, the news is that he, Zion Williamson is out for 2 weeks. Sean Fox here to give us a pep talk because I can't think of anybody else from up there in Funrail, Louisiana to be able to pick us up, give us some spirits, and give us the positive sign of things. Help me up. How are you today?
You called the wrong dang person for that, pal.
Can I ask you something?
Is the Pope Catholic? Of course you can.
Well, speaking of, did you see the picture of Mrs. B with him, handing him a Saints jersey? Look, here's the thing.
She was getting a blessing.
Well, she needs all the favors she can get because I'm kind of in jest, but at the same time, I'm being serious. What? Did Tom Benson sign the contract with you-know-who downstairs? Because since 2009, I'm being honest. Let's just do this quickly.
Yes.
Give me the positive things that have happened to the Saints and Pels. And then on the other side of the ledger, give me the things that make you go, you got to be kidding me. From the Minneapolis Miracle to concussion for Pierre Thomas in that game against San Francisco to coming back to Alex Smith looking like Steve Young, well, Anthony Davis, Chris. I mean, yeah. I'm being serious. Since 2009, give me three really positive things as opposed to you got to be kidding me things.
Look, Gus, I can't because I firmly believe in you, like at 42 years old and you've got listeners who are even older than I am. Like there were times, like I never thought I'd see LSU win a championship. I've been lucky enough to see that. I never thought I'd see the Cubs win the World Series. I've seen that. And I dang sure never thought I'd see the Saints win the Super Bowl. In fact, I remember when I was 14 or 15 years old, my grandfather on his deathbed. And I'm not, this is not comedy for the show. This is a true story. He told me, son, root for another team. They are only going to break your heart. So I never thought I'd see the Saints win the Super Bowl. So I bring that up because I do believe we must have sold our sports soul to get that one Super Bowl in 2009.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
right?
it
do you
has
agree?
Been, no, oh, 1,000%. It has been the most painful existence. I mean, Gus, it is hard, really hard to be a fan of Louisiana sports teams. And I know LSU has had success. Like, again, well, they've won 3 championships. But think about this. Like, there's no consistency. You go back to LSU winning the championship in 2019 in football. They follow it with the worst season a defending national champion has ever had. This year, baseball wins. What's going to happen? They're looking at not making the SEC tournament, let alone the NCAA tournament. Who else does this happen to? There's no consistency. We go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. It is a roller coaster. Right. It's why the drinking in our country, in our city, and in the state is the way that it is. Mm-hmm. It's why I had high blood pressure since I was 25.
Yeah. And heart problems. And don't forget the heart problems, too. Yeah.
The heart problems. It's because of I've got a pacemaker. Because these teams are trying to kill us. And I am the living proof. And last night in 2.5 hours was the fandom of a Pelican in a nutshell. In a nutshell, you go in trying to talk yourself into it. Okay, I'm going to be excited. Halfway through, you've accepted defeat only for you to come back and get your hopes up to get hurt in the most painstakingly way possible.
Right.
That is Pelicans basketball in a nutshell.
Yeah, you didn't just lose. You lost your player that got you there.
Not only that, the moment we're waiting for, Alpha Zion has arrived. Folks, this is it. And all you people who called him a bust, this is the dude. He is him. Like, this was the grand stage. On his 40th point, he gets hurt.
Wasn't a bruise. Yeah, wasn't a bruise, not a twisted ankle.
Even if they pull off a miracle and win on Friday, and you could say, well, Fox, they've beaten the Kings 5 times. Well, you know what my pessimistic butt mind thinks? They're due.
Sean, I don't think you're alone on that. The odds, my goodness, great.
Doesn't matter.
De'Aaron Fox.
my cousin, yeah.
Yes, your cousin De'Aaron Fox in the post-game comments yesterday said, it's very hard to beat a team 6 times, smiling, holding
it
his
is.
Daughter. So, yeah.
It's hard to beat a team 6 times in 1 year.
Look, because here's the thing, too. It's not even that you have to come back and get it. Because here's something else. Because I like getting your opinion because you're here, you're local, but you're a little further away in that you turn the game on, you watch it, you observe it, and you get the feeling. But man, I can't shake the feeling like in the last month, this team's lost it. They don't know what they are. You know, like we all of a sudden have decided we want to be a small ball team. Although 2/3 of the season, I don't think you were. Rotations. It just when I hear Coach Green on Sunday and on, you know, like in the most important time of the season, you don't see players that have played like Najee. And I get it, one way, shape, or form. Rotations are very strange. B.I. doesn't come back when Zion's hurt.
Did we get any news of why he did not come back? I know he didn't play great, but why wasn't he in the game late?
I mean, I can play what Willie said.
Yeah, I never heard that.
I just like the group that was on the floor at the time. And B.I. is still getting back. He's still finding his rhythm. So I didn't want to force the issue. And I like the group that was going. They had some momentum going there.
Okay, I have my hand up. My question to then would be, and again, I understand the hindsight game is very dangerous to play. But I want to play it, right? It's like the Ouija board. I get it. But then why not start Trey on Sunday? I'm not even talking about Tuesday. When I start Trey, Get the win. Get one of these two wins, and then you have a week of practice to get B.I. acclimated. You can bring him off the bench. You can still see 15, 20 minutes. I mean, but just why don't you start Trey?
But then, yes, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. And Trey's played good basketball. I mean, inconsistent, but we'll get into last night in a second. But, like, I hear all that, but I'm still a big believer. No matter how bad they are, your best players need to be on the court. Like, you go play through it. Brandon Ingram is Zion is your best basketball player. I do not care how bad he's playing. He needs to be out there. And, I mean, you look up at there's certain times late in the game, and this the future of this franchise is predicated on what we consider a semi-big three in McCollum, Zion, and CJ. And there was points late in that game where none of the three were on the floor. And you're going against LeBron and that goofy-looking unibrow son of a gun who – Gus, am I wrong to say this? I'm just going to take over the show.
Okay.
Is he the biggest New Orleans sports villain of all time?
Ooh.
Can I explain why? We could talk Bill Vinovich and insert any 49er. We could talk Steve our Falcon. We could talk Steve Smith. We could talk Robbie, any Falcon. Again, I go back to the NFC West days with the Niners and all that. But this dude was our franchise.
No, he's a Benedict Arnold, yeah.
And the way he leaves, and we all know famously, he still never thanked New Orleans.
He's yet to thank New Orleans, yes. Yeah.
And he torches us every single
time. Well, it is our fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. You didn't know that?
Man, if this was... I'm trying my best to not get us an FCC fine right now, but that's what I think about Anthony Davis right now. I mean, somebody beat that man with an ugly stick and he fell down the tree and hit every branch. But gosh dang it, he was a basketball player.
Yeah. So, I don't know,
then
man.
We got old man Rogaine. The man's graying and he's still killing us. He's graying.
What do you get the feel from fans up there, or even yourself, if they don't win on Friday? Has to happen. Or should anything happen? Do you just sit there and be like, hey, B.I. got hurt?
We should be talking about one of the best seasons in franchise history with 49 wins. Zion plays 71 games. They don't make the playoffs. I mean, what else would they do? Like, what other – no 7 seed has not made the playoffs since the in-season tournament started. Like, why do these things happen? You want to add to what you started with?
Yeah.
Add that to it. Who else does this happen to? I'm F-words. Frustrated in the other one right now.
I would say as in between both of those words, huh?
Mm.
Frustrated as. So I got one bit of history as well that you could do as we wrap up. Rod Walker tweeted. He was a guest earlier in hour number one. 2013-14 Phoenix Suns won 48 games, missed the playoffs.
Yep.
Most wins by a team that did not make the playoffs. The Pelicans have 49 wins. If they don't win, they would be the team that had the most wins without making the playoffs.
So, Gus, I'll leave you with this. I was pessimistic Pels fan on Monday. I was trying to be positive Pels guy yesterday. I'm pissed off Pels guy today. Okay. But I told my audience on Monday, I said, do me a favor. If I start crowing and start peacocking about the Pelicans and, boy, they look where they are right now, and they have the potential to do this, I said, I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what their record is. Please stop me. Please stop me. And I'm going to watch them. They're my team. I'm going to talk about them. It's my job. But I will not get excited about this franchise anymore, I said, until we get to the actual playoffs. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. They've beaten me. They've beaten me down.
Sean, I'll say this. You're, 4 hours away up in Monroe?
Yeah.
Give or take.
Orleans, about 4 hours.
Okay, give or take. Your sentiment is something that I touched on a lot yesterday. It was not the same crowd or feeling that you saw on Sunday. And I think that is something that also probably...
Them?
No, look, I'm with you. And I think that also... is going to be part of that conversation in the offseason that you would hope ownership and everybody understands, too, because it, to your point, it is remarkable. It is a team that you would argue and could argue should have won more than 50 games, which means that you're not bad, but you didn't. And yet, I would say there's a feeling in the city of apathy towards this team, or not even apathy, just kind of like not buying it, you know, or just which is crazy because because I was going to say, Sean.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say because CJ has shot the best he has in his career from three this year. Brandon Ingram has played the best he's played as a professional in terms of defensive and assist. And Zion, to your point that you brought up, most games played, you've seen him be the guy that he wants to. So on paper, it should be a season that's celebrated. And you couldn't get a full stadium there yesterday.
Gus, I might be 4 hours away, but I've had, and it's kind of the running joke, like I know this is going to happen when we talk Pels. I get a few text messages. I got it on Monday, said, Fox, this is why we can't wrap our arms around this team. And that's the troubling thing about here, man. You just... Every time you feel like you build momentum with this team, they kick you down south. That's just the way it's been since they've been in New Orleans, and that's the frustrating thing. You and I, Gus, you and I both, more than anything, want this franchise to be successful, and the people care like we do, but it's really hard when things like this continue to happen.
Bottom line, Zion or not, you are staring at a seventh straight home loss to end the season if you don't pull it out on Friday.
Hey.
That is... No bueno.
Is there any way we can move the game to Lakefront Arena?
Scott Kushner actually tweeted that. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate the time. Here he goes. Hey, at this point, try another arena. Goodness gracious. Or practice there. Try something. Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night, and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
67 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
The king is in my home. What joy bring? We are going, we're going to ring the king.
The King Firm. If you've been injured, ring the king. 504-909-5464.
That's 504-909-5464. Located at 2912 Canal Street, New Orleans. If you're injured in an accident,
I say have no fear.
The King Firm.
The King Firm is here. We are going, we're going to ring the king.
LA 23-15-341.
For over 90 years, the legendary Ahrens brand has been building durable and reliable outdoor power equipment like the Ahrens Icon Zero Turn Mower. Right now, you can save $250 on qualifying Icons at your local Ahrens dealer during the Mow Less, Save More event. The Icon delivers a perfectly cut lawn and does it quickly and comfortably. And because it's an Ahrens, you know it's built to last. This spring, save $250 on an Ahrens Icon and step into a legacy brand.
Visit Neil's Small Engines with locations in Houma, Thibodaux, and Cutoff.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It was tough. It was tough to see him go down. You know, we're all praying and hoping that he's okay, but he was battling. He was going, and... The team was right there with them, so it's tough. We'll see what happens, and we'll go from there.
That's head coach Willie Green on Zion going down with an injury. CJ McCollum.
Yeah, I mean, this is unfortunate. situation. He's having a great game. You know, we're getting down the stretch of a highly important, you know, game where he's dominating and, you know, leaving his imprint in all phases, and, you know, ends up having to leave the game early. But, you know, it's just unfortunate situation, and, you know, I don't know what happened or the extent of it, but, you know, hopefully he's back soon.
Well, we got the official update from the Pelicans. He has a left hamstring strain, as we bring in West Bank Rick into the conversation, and he will be evaluated in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today is May 1st. That would be the night of Game 5 against Oklahoma City Thunder. If the Pelicans win Friday and were to take on the Thunder, that's the time frame that you can keep in your mind as to how long he will be gone. Game 1 is Sunday. Game 2 is Wednesday. Game 3, which would be at the Smoothie King Center, Saturday. Then on Monday, and then again, as we said, Game 5, Wednesday back at OKC. That's if the Pels win Friday. That's if the Pels win enough games to even get to a Game 5, 6, or 7. But it looks like, more than likely or not, if you don't take care of your business, West Bank Rick, you're not even going to worry about that.
Yeah, I'm not even. My old sense just went straight to the bottom. When I passed by you, I was like, I am. I felt like Fox. Like, I'm done. We shouldn't have been playing with our food in San Antonio. We shouldn't have been playing with our food with the first L.A. game. I was just like, oh, my goodness. This is why don't play around when you have to handle business. And losing if you go back in the season and to the fans, this is when we start evaluating your team. When you go back in the season and you look at the double-digit losses, you look at not being able to come back if you're down by so many points, your clutch time, all this speaks for the team on the coaching staff, the players, and the organization. And like I say, I've been here since we were getting our buzzers in the seat.
Yeah. West Bank Rick, I want to address something you just said that I saw last night. Third quarter ends. Going into that fourth quarter last night, the Pelicans were 0-22 this season, going into the final quarter trailing. To your point, that's alarming. I mean, you haven't come back once in 20, in an NBA where 20-point leads disappear. And an NBA where you have a whole 12 minutes. And an NBA where some of those times, I mean, 22 is a lot. Some of those were at home, including last night.
Yep.
For you to, because that to me is attached, isn't it, West Bank Rick? That's attached with the clutch games evaluation.
Yep. And that's what
when you're so poor in clutch games, that is an attachment to the 0-23 now this season, where you entered the final quarter trailing and couldn't win. That, I mean, that is one of the things, you know, what I like to do at the end of the season. I like to walk in, have the meeting, dry eraser board, and I'm writing themes. That is one that I am writing on the dry eraser board, circle it, question mark next to it, smack it with the pen and go, why? Why can we not win a game in the fourth quarter? Why did we struggle in clutch situations this season? I want answers. That's written in black marker. I have my red marker. Let's go. Fire away. Give me some reasons. Right? I mean, that's what I'm doing.
Here's the other thing. I heard John talked about Jonas, and I heard you say maybe two-thirds of the games we was using him, and we're doing very well. And then all of a sudden we started, let's go small. And that part right there, and you done heard me say this plenty of times. Larry should not never play more minutes than Jonas Valanciunas, ever. I think this is his second double-double this year that Larry got. And we can count how many. I'm pretty sure he was up to 80. I don't know. No, not 80, because he didn't even play that many games. I'm pretty sure it was probably 50, if that many. But to let go somebody who's giving you 18 points, 10 rebounds, a block, maybe a steal or two, diverting people from coming in the paint. You cannot get that from a small guy who's 6'7". And then there were key points where Larry had a pretty good game last night. But there were points where Larry was out of position, and then AD was getting the ball.
Dude, they feasted on him. They feasted on him. I mean,
I heard somebody say this about Larry. When Larry come in, they happy. They happy when Larry come in. And I said, why would they be happy? And then you see it, and you be like, oh, my God, I can't take this anymore. How can other people see it and we don't see it? And then to cap it off, you got one of the best shooters sitting on the bench, and you don't want to use them. You got two of them, really. The one that kicked us out the playoff last year, Matt Ryan. And then you got Jayhawk who's just been sitting there just rusting. So I'm kind of upset about it. Hey, why was Najee not playing? I was puzzled on that. Why was Najee not playing? I saw him practicing, shooting, but he didn't play.
Coach's decision. He's not on the injury report.
And that's some crazy crap. Because he's been playing pretty good ball with defense, giving us points. He had one of his best three-point careers. A lot of people on the team had good three-point careers this year. And we just kind of like just let those points go or let the percentage just drop off. I don't even feel confident in Friday. We shouldn't even been here at all. Speaking of not being here, I'm still kind of – I'll go right back to that San Antonio game. I'm still burnt of that game. Should not have lost that game. Man. I don't know what to say, Gus. Block.
Well, it's been great. Ladies and gentlemen, 800-998-1003 in the Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline. If the team does not secure the win on Friday, it is going to be a very interesting offseason. I think very fair questions, very tough questions should be asked and answered. One way, shape, or form. Like I said, there are basketball things that you look at that are puzzling. And deserve to, at least you got to try to figure out. Look, last year it was the health issue. I would say this year, and I will say this, as we go to break, I am happy that I'm 2 hours and 45 minutes into our show today. And kudos and credit to y'all. We didn't get a single caller, and I haven't gotten a single text from last night or this morning, not even Roy, who calls him the Pelicans, and he ain't. I get it. He's a Dolphin and Celtic fan. But not even Roy. Not a single person has been like, there he is. He's injury prone. See, he's not any good. I haven't gotten anything like that. I haven't seen it on social media. I haven't seen or heard a national person call him injury prone or all he does is get hurt. And I think it's because they have seen that since March, this man has turned it around. He has played hard. He has played well. And he let it all out yesterday. He just got injured in the game. And I'm thankful for that because that is at least one page of his narrative that he can now turn. You did not see that last night. You haven't seen it today. If anything, people feel bad for him. And that is a massive change on how a lot of this community and its fan base has felt about him. And that is a positive moving forward into the offseason. Now you got to help him out. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
NOLA Gold fans, get ready for a day of smoking good times and sizzling rugby action this Saturday at the Shrine on Airline. Before the Gold take on the Miami Sharks at 3, the King of the Yard Barbecue Showdown begins at noon, featuring mouth-watering creations like ribs, chicken, redfish, and oysters. Purchase combo tickets to secure your spot. Enjoy music from Kevin Gullidge and the Blues Groovers over at the Party Shack. Go to NOLAGoldRugby.com for tickets today. It's the Gold hosting the Sharks Saturday at 3.
The other day, someone said they saw a roach the size of a nutria down around Cutoff. I don't know about that, but nasty pests like roaches, termites, ants, and spiders are running wild up and down the bayou. If you got bug problems, call the local experts at Terminex, and those bayou boys will be there in a jiffy to protect your home or business. So whether you live up the bayou or down the bayou, Terminex is here to get rid of bugs any size.
So call those bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
is the Fête du Monde Festival, April 19th through the 21st. The whole family will enjoy 3 days of food and fun extravaganza. You'll find great Cajun food, live music, dancing, games, and carnival rides. Kicking off the festival Friday night is Epic, followed by Kings of Leon. Saturday lineup will be Patula, Freddy Rodriguez, and Charts in December. Ending with Contra Flow. Opening act Sunday, Ted Dillon and JP Bourgeois Band. 3 days of fun at La Fête du Monde Festival under the Fouche Parish Pavilion, 2484 Highway 1 in Rakeland.
Home health services in South LaFouche are vital right now. Look no further than Lady of the Sea Home Health, where the sick, the elderly, and the homebound. Our caring staff makes each day a little brighter, a little better. With quality health care and warm, genuine support, you and your loved ones are the most comfortable, content, and independent in your own home. Speak to your physician today about home health services from Lady of the Sea. Call 985-632-6900 for more information. Quality health care locally for you.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
They're definitely going to, whoever we play, they're going to come in with a mentality that is, it could be their last game of the season, so they're going to play as hard as they can. So, obviously, you can look at the film, but you just got to be prepared to for a dogfight.
That is Trey Murphy. When asked yesterday about now the prospects of Friday, not one, not two, now the third time, where if you win one game at home, you advance to the postseason. You could have done it Sunday, you didn't. Could have done it yesterday, you didn't. Will you do it on Friday? And I do think it is a very interesting game on a lot of different aspects of it. It's very easy. You can sit there, hey, you don't have Zion. You had Zion the last two games. The way it sort of has looked and felt with the reacclimation of Brandon Ingram, the struggles that this team has had shooting at home, not just CJ, Trey as well. Those are your three-point shooters. Rotations with certain players, what they're doing at center, however you view it. There's a lot of movement late in the season. Some of it you can help, some of it you can't. Like Brandon Ingram going out. I hear you. Took them a bit afterwards. They struggled. Then they got moving. And in that road trip, they figured things out. And did that. But as we said, we're going to get into it once the season ends. Whenever that ends. Hopefully it will be another 2 weeks before it ends. And they're in a series against OKC. It will be without Zion for most of it. If not all of it. But a lot of the situation they're in here is self-inflicted. As we mentioned, 0-23 on the season when trailing after three. They don't have a single fourth quarter comeback. And I'm talking about, it's not specific as in down 10, down 15. I'm talking down 1. Like, it's not specific as to trailing after 4 by ... It's just generically, are you losing after three quarters? They are. They haven't come back and won. The clutch rating and performance, we've talked about it, 13-14 games, because last night was another clutch game. Winning half of those, you're not in a situation. Why do they struggle? And it's hard for me, again, if I'm holding that meeting and I'm standing at the dry eraser board, if somebody around the table goes, well, we're young and inexperienced, I'm going to write three letters. O-K-C. They're the number one seed in the West. They're younger than you. They're the youngest team ever to get the number one seed. Chet Holmgren, their number one draft pick last year, didn't play because of injury the entire season. This is his first year. They seem to know where they're going. They seem to execute. As a matter of fact, I think the last time the Pels played OKC, I could be wrong on this, and I'll find it out tomorrow, but they're one of the most, or if not have the most games in clutch situations this year. In other words, they play a lot of close games, but they have a winning percentage in clutch games. So how is it that a team younger than you, I would say way less inexperienced than you, because at the very least, remember, the Yanks by some Pels fans this week. For the third straight year, the Pelicans are in the play-in. Okay, you're right. 3 years ago, you had to play two play-in games. Last year, you played a play-in game. This year, you played a play-in game. Basically, for the last month, you've been playing the postseason, but technically fine. Yesterday was a play-in game. That's more postseason games than Chet Holmgren, who will play his first one on Sunday, who's a very big part of the OKC Thunder. You played them last year in a play-in game. They beat you. By the way, their head coach is the coach of the year this year for the Thunder. Young guy. So, I'm not buying youth and inexperience. Not buying it. That's hard for me to swallow because of that. Because there are younger teams. Orlando's a young team. As a matter of fact, Orlando hasn't played a single play in a postseason game. They will this weekend. Those two games against Orlando, I want to say they were clutch, or one or two were. They executed better than you. Beat you. They're a younger team. I go up and down the list. There are some younger teams that have executed. So, I don't know. That's the perplexing thing for me, is that it just feels like they're trying to figure out what to do and how to do it, and in the 83rd game of the season seems to be like the wrong time to be doing that. Go with who you are. Go with what you do. You win, you lose, right? It's me. I'm not talking about adjustments. I'm talking about your identity. What's the Pels' identity right now? Got to figure it out in 2 days here. They're off today. They'll get back on the court tomorrow and then Friday. One chance to extend their season. A few more games, at least four minimum. Tomorrow we'll be over at Katie's over on Iberville. So come on by. Say hi to us. Chef Scotty, myself, and maybe others will be there as well. Up next, Matt Moscone. And after further review, you've been listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.